In our gospel today, we actually have two miracles, and told in an interesting way, a way that's sort of characteristic, especially of the way St. Mark sometimes structures and tells the story of his gospel. We begin with one miracle. Jesus is approached by this official of the synagogue whose daughter is very, very sick at the point of death. And so Jesus says, "I'll come." And then we interrupt that story for another, a different miracle story, the one of the woman with the hemorrhage. And then at the conclusion of that one, we go back to the story of Jairus' daughter. But in the meantime, the ante has sort of been upped on this. The suspense has increased because in the meantime, the little girl has died. And so it's kind of an artful way of telling the story. And it's sort of typical. St. Mark does this in his gospel. It's sort of, sometimes it's called like a frame of a picture. There's the framing story and then the one in the middle. I think these two miracles show us, the first one, the framing one, shows us what is necessary and why it is that Jesus is the one who performs these miracles. But the middle one, the one that's framed, the one of the woman with the hemorrhage, shows what's needed from our part for miracles. And there is something needed on our part for miracles. So this first story, the one of the raising of Jairus' daughter, you know, we have a beautiful painting that was given to our parish by our sister parish in Haiti, back in the vestibule of the raising of Jairus. You might want to look at that as you leave church today, but the raising of this little girl. This miracle, Jesus, in St. Mark's gospel, again, very characteristic of Mark's gospel, it's sort of the action-adventure gospel, in a way. It's like very action-packed. There's not a lot of discourses and teaching. It's just like Jesus performs a miracle, and immediately he goes somewhere else, and then he performs another. And immediately, it's very action-packed like that. Lots of miracles, lots of immediately going from here to there. And we see this building of the miracles. Jesus shows, reveals of himself, his power and mastery over various different things. And they tend to get more and more and more important as they go along, until we get to this miracle today, where Jesus, in the course of the miracle, it goes from a miracle of that initially about curing a sick girl to raising this child from the dead. That shows Jesus having authority even over death itself. You know, when we had in our first reading, that very, very beautiful reading, saying, you know, telling, you know, death, God did not intend death. Death is not a part of God's plan. Death entered the world through sin. And then it is the curse and the shadow and the veil that is over all of humanity. There is no escaping death. There is no way to escape death except through Jesus Christ, the one who through his own suffering and death has conquered suffering and death and demonstrates his power over death in these miracles. It's very interesting, you know, when he gets to that point, he goes in and he tells the people, they say, "Oh, don't trouble the teacher to come anymore, that the little girl has died." And he says, "She's not dead, she's asleep." And he says, and the people ridiculed him. It's a very particularly, we've been talking about this some recently, Christian view of death, the sleep of death. A Christian burial place is called a cemetery, which is the Greek equivalent of the word dormitory. A cemetery is a place where people are asleep, awaiting the resurrection of the dead, that call of Jesus to wake them up. And that literally happens with this little girl. And the words that Jesus uses are so important that we're given them in the actual language of Jesus. You know, we don't have very many words, the actual words that Jesus spoke in the gospel, the words of Aramaic. But in this gospel, we have what he said to that little girl. They give us the actual words. Talitha kum. Little girl, I say to you, get up. And so that is what is needed in Jesus Christ, is a savior. That's what his very name means in Hebrew. God saves. The one who does for us what we cannot possibly do for ourselves and what no one else can do for us. We are all powerless over the ravages of sin and death apart from Jesus Christ. But in Jesus Christ, we conquer even death itself. So, because Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God. You know, at the beginning, when God created the world, how did he do it? It really wasn't, you know, it wasn't very dramatic. He spoke and it happened. It was sort of no sweat for God, right? And so is Jesus's, you know, miracle here. He speaks to this girl and she rises. But let's look at the frame, at the framed miracle, the one of the woman with the hemorrhage. Because that speaks to us of what is necessary from us for miracles to happen. It's a very interesting miracle. Actually, it's a miracle that happens essentially in secret. Nobody knows it's happening. Not even Jesus knows it's happening until it happens, right? There are only two people who initially know this miracle even happened. One is the woman herself. She realizes she has been healed. And Jesus, who realizes this healing power has gone out from him. Of course, Jesus kind of stops and makes a big deal about it because he wants to point out why this happened for this woman so that everybody else would know it. And what is it he says to her? He says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." And let's look at this woman. What had she done to prepare herself for this moment? She was filled with longing and desire and determination to touch Jesus. No matter how difficult that would be, no matter what obstacles she would have faced, and she would have faced a lot of obstacles. Someone who was in her condition, for example, would have been considered unclean according to the Jewish ritual law. The Jews held blood in this very, you know, very sort of sacred mode. And so that if you came into contact with someone who was bleeding, that made you ritually unclean. And so this woman was inserting herself right into the middle of something where ordinarily, you know, she would not have been probably even allowed. And she comes into this place. She is determined to encounter Jesus Christ. And she does. She touches him. And she touches him with that longing and desire and that great faith in Jesus as her Savior. The one who can do for her what no one else can do for her. The one who can heal her. It was beautiful last night at the Spanish Mass last night. I was hearing Father Edwin preaching about this a little bit. And in Spanish, the word for healing and for salvation are very close to each other. And he was also talking with actually someone after Mass. Sometimes we're approached by people to receive the anointing of the sick. And talking to this person, making this connection. Sanación, healing. Salvación, salvation. They're very close. They were very close for this woman. They were very close in the life and mission of Jesus. Salvation, healing and salvation. And this woman is healed and saved by Jesus. The church thinks this miracle is very important. If you have one of the big copies of the catechism, I don't know if it's in the it may be in the sort of pocket-sized version, but if you've got the big catechism, you'll notice there are four pictures in the catechism. The catechism is divided into four sections, and there's a picture in front of each one of the four sections. And in front of the second section, which is about the liturgy and the sacraments, there is a picture of this miracle, of the woman with the hemorrhage. It's a very ancient image from the catacombs of this woman reaching out and touching the garment of Jesus and being healed. Because this miracle shows us the way the sacraments work and the way that we ought to approach the sacraments in order for them to work. Now, as we've already seen, there's nothing lacking on Jesus' side. Jesus can perform any miracle anytime he wants to. And the church teaches that about the sacraments. There's never anything lacking in the grace of Jesus Christ in a sacrament properly performed. There's a doctrine of the church called ex opere operato, okay? But we'll notice that the efficacy of the sacrament, the fruitfulness of the sacrament, very often varies widely from one person to another. Isn't that the case? I have to say, one of the saddest things as a priest I ever hear, I think maybe the thing I hate hearing more than anything else, is hearing someone say, "Well, you know, Father, I go to Mass, but I don't get very much out of it." Oh my goodness. At Mass, the very same Jesus that this woman reached out to touch is here. The same Jesus, substantially, totally, body, blood, soul, divinity, he is here. Have you come to Mass the same way this woman came to Jesus? Are you determined to get here? Nobody's going to keep me from getting to Mass, right? And I'm going to sit right up front, too, where I'm really close, right? Nothing could keep me from getting to Mass, because Jesus will be there. Jesus will be passing by. And I need Jesus. This other way that this woman came to Jesus, with faith in who he is as her Savior, he can do for me what I must have and what no one else can do. He can save me. Where do you need healing? Well, of course, we all need healing from the curse of death, right? Maybe it's a physical healing. Maybe it's a moral healing. Maybe you have some moral struggle that you just keep, I just can't break free. Maybe it's a psychological or emotional struggle you have. I just can't forgive. I can't let go. Well, he can. And so you need to come to him with that desire, almost that desperation. You know, when this woman touched Jesus, Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the apostles almost made fun of him. They said, "Well, what do you mean, who touched you? Lots of people have touched you. You know, there's a big crowd." But he knew what he meant, and she knew what he meant. Who touched me so that that touch was effective and powerful and bore fruit. Be the one who touches Jesus like that today, at this Mass, at this communion. If you come like this woman, you will not be disappointed.